Evie, two things I don't think I ever would have thought we'd be talking about this time of year. One would be Ole Miss and Tucson. One would be Notre Dame and Starkville.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Bill. Thank you for having me on. Yeah, boy, I sure agree with you on that. Never would have thought that.
I've been talking last several weeks. Ole Miss is a very happy place right now, all told, whatever the topic might be. We'll get into football here in a second. But take us through this baseball team's season, the Cliff Notes, and where they're at in the moment, confidence-wise.
Okay, well, you know, it's just probably a lot of your listeners know a little bit about Ole Miss just because of their interactions with the Vandy boys. But it's been just a really up and down season for Ole Miss. A lot of injuries to start the season. They came to Texas, opened up in Arlington, beat TCU, beat Texas, and beat Texas Tech. And, you know, so that was wonderful. But we had, I think, Doug Nikhazy was out for a little while, our pitcher, with a muscle strain. Second baseman Peyton Chatagnier was out with a hamstring. First baseman Cale Baker broke a bone in his hand. So, you know, we take Tim Elko and move him from third base over to first base to take the place the first baseman that was hurt. And, you know, of course, then at a certain point we lose Gunnar Hoglund, our Friday night ace, to torn ulnar collateral ligament. So he has to have Tommy John surgery. And then, you know, the worst of all things, I think, in my opinion, was when Tim Elko, our team captain, went down with a torn ACL, of all things, in baseball. And, you know, he's kind of become the story of not just the season, but the postseason, I believe. And he had elected not to have surgery immediately on his ACL. And I didn't even know that was a thing. And I don't think Coach Bianco knew that was a thing. But as many may know, he decided to try and play on it, rehab a little bit. And he's just come back with a vengeance, so to speak, and has hit, I think, 7 home runs since he came back from his surgery, including a grand slam that helped him beat Southern Miss in the regional final. So I believe, you know, what you're alluding to, they've overcome a lot of adversity, and they've been really fun to watch.
They have. And now I was looking, and you can correct me, because I have not spent a lot of time on the Super Regionals and the game times and everything, but what I saw earlier was that Ole Miss plays Saturday night, and Eastern time, that would be 9 o'clock, or is it Friday night. Is that correct, that time?
Yes. So 8 o'clock Ole Miss time.
Right.
So we've got some. And then Saturday, but you're right, Saturday night, I believe it's 9 o'clock Ole Miss time. So I think it starts at 10 p.m. their time. So, yeah, going to be some late games. Fun for folks covering it. But, yeah, I guess it's kind of, I don't know. It's like fun after dark, baseball after dark, I guess.
Do you think, and you've seen all these teams, Arkansas is the team to beat overall?
Yes. I think
too.
So. I absolutely think so. I you know, when Ole Miss played them in the SEC tournament in the semifinals, and, you know, again, I just feel like the team's coming out. I know it's going to sound like I'm such a SEC homer, but I just really feel like the teams playing in the SEC are battle-tested, and nothing against any of the other teams, but, you know, Ole Miss played Arkansas in the semifinals of the SEC tournament and lost 3-2. You know, I mean, it was a really close game. I don't know if you had a chance to see that one, but it was just, you know, heavyweights battling it out. And, you know, Ole Miss has had games where they got to try and eke out a 3-2 win, and then they've had ones where they have to win, you know, 12-9, as was the case in the regional versus Southern Miss. So, but absolutely, Arkansas's the Arkansas and Cops are the folks to beat, and they're just going to be really tough. So I hope Ole Miss makes it to Omaha and gets the opportunity to face them again.
Before we get to football, something I was talking about the other day, and I've talked about it briefly probably the last 10 years. Is there anything in other college sports, football and basketball, that compares to the baseball arm talent, velocity increase we've seen the last 10 years? Used to be if you threw 90, that was something. That's a joke now. I mean, we look at 90 as, what are you doing? You can't throw 90. Evie, all these arms throwing 95-plus. It's amazing.
I mean, it's crazy. It's like if you're throwing 90, people are wondering what's wrong. Uh-oh, right. Better get him out of there. His velocity is down to 90. It's like, right. What is happening? I totally agree with you. I think that every time Ole Miss has a player, Justin Bench, a third baseman, who has been hit by pitch. I think he leads the nation in being hit by pitch. And every time he's hit by pitch, I'm thinking, how in the world? I mean, sometimes multi times a game, and I'm thinking, how in the world does that poor kid do that with the velo out there these days? I mean, it's something else. You're absolutely right.
I'll give you one quick stat. We'll get to football. And Jack Leiter's no-hitter when he was really going well in the, what was that, South Carolina game. It was 124 pitches, okay? Pitch number 124, Evie, was 97.
Oh, my goodness.
That kid's not 6 feet tall either.
That is insane. Of course, he is so talented. I mean, I have to admit, going into the Vandy series or anytime playing them, I'm just like, Kumar Rocker and Leiter, please. You know, that doesn't even seem fair. I don't know. I didn't know that. That's just absolutely amazing. I mean, just hard to imagine. And I don't know what compares to it. I mean, at some point, are we going to have a running back running a sub 440 or something? You know, I don't know.
Right.
That's just crazy.
Oh, Miss Evie with us. Okay. Give us a quick, brief spring football wrap up and how everything's going.
Well, you know, I think everything's going really well for the Rebels. Spring was fun, but they had a number of players out offensively who weren't participating because of injury. So, Jerion Ealy being one of them, he had shoulder surgery at the end of last season. Fully expect Jerion to come back, blazing. We'll get Braylon Sanders, wide receiver, back. I think that probably the most exciting thing was, I think the defense looked much better in their first full spring under Kiffin and company, and they've gotten a lot of good pieces that will be coming in. I guess everybody's there now coming in. Nation's top defensive tackle, Tywan Malone, arrived on campus yesterday, and he is a beast of a fellow and is also going to play baseball. So, I think that overall, everything I saw from everything I saw and everything I heard, everybody's just really excited and pumped up. Looking forward to September 6th when they take on Louisville.
So many changes in college football coming up with expansion in the playoffs, name, image, likeness. But the transfer portal, how active has Ole Miss been there?
Ooh, well, it's funny you bring that up. I think it hasn't really hit Ole Miss in terms of players leaving, with one huge exception. I don't know how aware anybody maybe outside of Ole Miss fans are, but leading tackler Jacquez Jones entered the transfer portal last week. And Jacquez is just one of my all-time favorite Ole Miss players, just an outstanding, outstanding kid. And actually right now is visiting Kentucky. So that's interesting. It's not really surprising, though, in the sense that his position coach at Ole Miss a couple of years ago, Coach Summerall, is now at Kentucky. So that isn't surprising. But in terms of transfer portal, I think it's been we've had more in than we've had out. So I guess that's a good thing. But, good grief with the intercon conference transfer restrictions being lifted, you know, you may see some more of that going on.
Doug DiBiase up in Connecticut, and we've probably got 2 minutes or so, says, ask Evie what are the realistic expectations for Ole Miss football this season. Perhaps, he says, another Florida Bowl on January 1 or something even bigger. What's realistic?
Realistically, it's I think anytime you have a quarterback coming back, the caliber of Matt Corral, and returning, you know, he's got some solid receivers, Braylon Sanders being probably his top target, and a running back like Jerrion Ealy. I mean, he's just phenomenal. I think that Ole Miss, like we saw last year, I think they were in so many games because they've got such a solid offense and such a, you know, I think the best returning quarterback in the country. I may be biased, but that's what I think. And that Kiffin offense. But, you know, so defensively would just be the question. But I think they've really, really got some key parts to help that defense out. And I, you know what? I mean, call me crazy, but I think 9-3 is legit. You know, legit. You could see them finish 9-3 and in a top bowl game.
Tell everybody how they can get all of your content.
Well, they can come visit therebelwalk.com, or they can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I am on Twitter at Ole Miss Evie, and we'd be excited to have a follow.
I like to see a Rebel Walk on TikTok. I mean, I don't know what you'd put on there, but I'd just like to see you.
I think it would be somebody other than me. You know, it'd have to be maybe my baseball writer to do something out in Arizona. I don't know.
Evie, we will see you next time. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.